If you like scary stories, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Maniac on the Loose Scary Stories Podcast. Sit back and relax. Keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times, and enjoy the ride. Hell on Earth, the Savior. The zombie apocalypse is hell. It truly is hell on Earth. It's not like the movies and TV shows with a bunch of slow-moving, lethargic zombies that you can shoot or stab in the head and make them drop like a bag of meat to the ground. In reality, these suckers are fast, savage, and relentless. They never tire, so even if you are faster than them, exhaustion will slow you down. Eventually, they'll catch you, and once they have a hold of you, it's over. They'll tear you apart like a rag doll, and most people are still alive when the zombies begin feeding. It's extremely unlikely for anyone to survive an encounter with a zombie, but let's say, for sake of argument, someone did manage to fight their way free and get away. Well, they'd wish they didn't. In the real world, a zombie infection is transferred by touch. When they touch you, they either kill you or turn you. There's truly no escape. The only chance you have against a real zombie is if you have a gun. Even then, you have to shoot them in the head at least 3 times before they finally stop. No gun means no chance. At this stage of the game, ammunition is scarce, as is food. There aren't many of us left, and I think the majority of us who are finally realize that the ones who died at the beginning were the lucky ones. I was with a group of a dozen people for a while. We thought there would be strength in numbers, and maybe there was some truth to that when there was enough food to go around. But starvation breeds desperation. It was easier to feed 6 than 12, so half the group killed the other, brutally. It was easier to feed 3 than 6, so another inner battle ensued. 2 of us survived. I was the alpha of the group. I'm a big, nasty grunt who's hard to kill. The other person who made it was a muscular gal called Coco. Tough as nails. A sociopath with no conscience. She would have had no qualms about slitting my throat if she thought it was in her best interest. But she was of the belief that nobody could make it in the current world environment on their own. She was likely correct, but misguided. The fact was that nobody could survive the hell that Earth had become for long, with or without others. Being alone just means twice as much food when you find any. We were in the corner store in what was an active city a year ago. The place had been ransacked 20 times over, but we were starving. What would have been inconceivable to call a meal 6 months ago was now considered a feast. It was a moldy half loaf of bread that I killed Coco over. And as I sat there eating the moldy bread and staring at Coco's body, I realized the time had come to do what I had to do to survive. Cannibalism was a necessity. That's what the world had become. My days were spent looking for food, water, or shelter, and constantly listening for zombies. Most days were not fruitful. Prior to the outbreak, I weighed 215 pounds. Last time I found a scale to weigh myself, I was 149 pounds. There were dark clouds rolling in overhead, followed by a flash of lightning and a loud clap of thunder. For me, storms meant water. This was a blessing. When I saw half a dozen zombies pounding on the exterior of a boarded-up old apartment complex, I knew that meant there were humans inside. For me, that meant food. It was going to be a good day indeed. I snuck around the back of the old building without the zombies seeing me. If they spotted me, I'd be toast. I only had a dozen bullets left. That wasn't enough to take them out. I was able to pull myself up onto a fire escape and climb the stairs to the fourth floor. From there, I wriggled my way through a jagged hole in one of the boarded-up windows. The floor was huge and vacant. It would make for a safe shelter. Once I killed the occupants of the building, I'd have enough food to last me for multiple days. If the storm produced as it appeared it would, I'd have water as well. Opportunities such as this were rare. In this life, you live one day at a time. To have enough resources to last more than that is a luxury. I moved quietly to the second floor and peeked through a large opening in the rotten floor to assess the situation below. I counted 5 people. They were all deathly thin. They were in the midst of starvation, a horrible way to die. All were lying on the floor. A few were convulsing. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of meat on their bones for me to consume, but their organs would suffice. The good news was, this would be easy. I walked down the rickety stairs to the first floor. The first person that noticed me looked at me with a hopeful gaze as he reached for me. He looked like a skeleton wrapped in a thin layer of flesh. He struggled to speak, but I heard him clearly.
Please kill me. Please kill all of us.
I gave him a pat on his bony shoulder and sank my knife into his heart. He stared into my eyes, smiled, and mouthed what I thought were the words, thank you, as he expired. The other 4 men were so far gone that they were having a difficult time speaking, but it was obvious they were all hoping that I'd put them out of their misery as well, and I obliged. It was the most merciful act I had carried out since it became hell on earth. I propped myself against the brick wall of the building. I needed to rest for a bit before I started cleaning the bodies. That's when I smelled the smoke. My nose guided me to a small fire pit that was in the process of burning out. There appeared to be a pot hanging above the embers. Food? I raced to the fire pit and cried tears of joy when I realized that the pot was half full with some kind of soup. I drank it down straight from the cast iron pot. It was a good day indeed.
Hell on Earth. The Flock.
It started with screams. I was at work. My building was located downtown in a major city. I looked out my window. There was only one zombie. To me, it looked like a deranged lunatic. He was lunging at people, grabbing them. The odd thing was that several people subdued the man, but then inexplicably let him go and stood still. Within seconds, those people began displaying the same violent behavior. In less than 5 minutes, there were hundreds of them. Nobody knows how the zombie apocalypse started. The spread was far too fast for anyone to care. Priorities quickly became survival. The smart ones raided stores first, grabbing up as much canned food, jarred food, and medicine as possible. I was able to get a cartful. I had to kill several thieving people to keep it. I never thought I'd be the kind of person to resort to something like that, but for my own survival, it was necessary. I found shelter in the basement of a house, and it was there that I was able to wait it out for the first few days. The days that most people died. I picked up stragglers along the way. Good people who needed help, so I helped them. For a long while, there was strength in numbers. It helped procure food and supplies. It was most beneficial in keeping murderous scavengers at bay. But the sheer number of us became a monster that needed to constantly be fed. It simply wasn't sustainable. But we tried. We died trying. At one time, there were over 20 of us. Now we were down to 5. Starvation was taking us out one by one. There were several zombies outside working on the barricades. Soon there would be more. Soon they would be inside. One way or another, the end was near.
Will it hurt?
Not as bad as starving to death. Not as bad as being ripped apart. I was a chemist in my life before Hell on Earth. When the plague began, I knew it was serious. I knew the ones who died early would be the lucky ones. So I thought ahead and procured myself a healthy dose of cyanide. We had resorted to eating our dead. It was the only way to survive. When the last person died, I made a nice soup out of their kidneys and liver. I laced the soup with cyanide. I was honest with everyone about what I did. They could continue to live their lives in Hell on Earth if they wanted to. All I did was offer them a way out that would be less prolonged than starvation and less violent than being eaten alive. Everyone chose to eat the soup. We were in the final throes of death when he arrived, the Savior, the one who would end our suffering and help us along. As he inserted the knife into my heart, I smiled. I tried to speak, but no voice was produced. Thus, I could only mouth the words, "Don't eat the soup." I hope he understood me.
We hope you enjoyed the show. We're dying for you to come back for more. Visit maniacontheloose.com. Sign up for our newsletter, and I'll give you some free stuff. We'll see you soon. Very soon.